From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
A lot of you hanging on for our contact information, and then right to our callers on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. First up, Robert. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Hank. I'm sort of nervous talking on the air to a real Bible scholar, so bear with me. I'm a public school teacher, and so it's cool to hear you address some of the science that's going on in schools. My question's about the best defense on Jesus' virgin birth. That's an objection that gets raised when we're talking reality and science.
Yeah, this is an answer that I give in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. And what I point out is that miracles are not only possible, but they're necessary in order to make sense out of the universe in which we live. When you think about the universe, it is an effect that demands a cause equal to or greater than itself. Not only so, but the origin of life, irreducible complexity in biological systems, the phenomenon of the human mind, they're all posing intractable difficulties for the evolutionary hypothesis. Now, I think if we were to say that God became a clam, that would be absurd. But to say that God became a man is not absurd at all, because humanity bears what we call the incommunicable attributes of God. So there are, in many ways, corresponding attributes in humans and in God. So God has will or volition, so do human beings. God manifests love, so do human beings. So again, there are incommunicable attributes of God that find a correspondence in humanity. Now, in the incarnation, of course, Jesus Christ did not in any way take on a sin nature. To have a human nature, it doesn't mean you have to have a sin nature. Adam had a fully human nature without having a sin nature prior to the fall. I would also say this, and I think this is a very strong argument. I would argue that you can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and the Bible teaches the incarnation. So we should bow our knee before God's revelation of himself to us.
Is it fair to say that Christ, to be effective, he had to be not only fully man, because I'm fully man, but and I couldn't do what he did, and so he also had to be fully God, because I understand the payment and satisfying God's righteous judgment, and God can't be dishonest, because he said the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus, his God part of him, his nature as God, I mean, and for God to pay the price wouldn't have been worthy of, or that is to say, if he just forgave us, but he wasn't a human being also. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, and it's well said on your part. I think that without both natures, Christ's death on the cross would have been insufficient, because as man, just as you pointed out so well, he identified with us in our sin. But as God, his death was sufficient to atone for the sins of humanity. So it's critical that we recognize that in the incarnation, Jesus voluntarily took on the limitations of humanity, but he did not divest himself of a single attribute of deity. So what you've said is not only well said, but it's critical.
Awesome. Well, we're in a war, and I'm trying to be a good soldier.
Well, yeah, and I think what you need to really press is this first point that I made, and that is that miracles are necessary in order to make sense of the universe in which we live. And if that is true, then the incarnation should pose no problem for any one of us. I mean, if you look at the universe, it has to have a cause. And if you're a philosophical naturalist or an evolutionist, you have to say that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life produced morals. That's a stretch for anybody in an age of scientific enlightenment. I think we should keep pressing that point.
Okay. Well, Satan's a liar, and that's one of the things. I read some C.S. Lewis recently, and that Satan is a liar, that's one of the main things to remember, and there would be no morals without our Father in heaven. Thank you.
You got it, Robert, and thank you for the work you're doing with kids. You're raising up a generation, and the answers that you give are going to be crucial later on. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Scott in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Scott.
How are you today?
Doing well.
Oh, okay. I'm currently researching dinosaurs and where they fit in with the Bible. I just, you know, Genesis and the creation and everything. I've noticed the word behemoth. Today I read the book of Jonah, and I see that he was in the belly of a big fish. I mean, was that particular fish a whale that's bigger than any kind of whale that we have on the planet today that could be considered a kind of a dinosaur? And also this behemoth that was, like, walking on the earth, was it like a woolly mammoth, or was it a brontosaurus? Did Noah put them on the ark? And, like, are mosquitoes dinosaurs also, and they survived? Why did he put something so terrible as a mosquito on the ark? You know, I could sit and talk to you for 30 minutes and ask you more questions, but I think that pretty much covers the gist of what I'm trying to understand.
Well, let's start with the dinosaurs. I mean, if you look at Behemoth and Leviathan, I don't think that you have to suppose that they are dinosaurs. And I think that if you look at the book of nature, it seems apparent from the book of nature that dinosaurs predated human beings. They didn't live at the same time as human beings. But if you look at Behemoth and Leviathan, so often in Job 40 and 41, interpreters say that these are dinosaurs, but I would simply disagree. And as I point out in the Creation Answer book, after 30-plus chapters of human speculations, God answers Job out of the storm, and he asked Job if he would like to try his hand at running the universe for a while. Who fathers the drops of dew was one of the axiomatic questions that God asked Job. Did you give the horse his strength? And he says, consider Behemoth, who ranks first among the works of God, or the sea dragon. Can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook? What you find out if you read Job carefully is that the literary progression moves from creation to creatures to the cherub, who once ranked first in the order of creation. In other words, to Job, the primal monster of the land, in the same way as the primal monster of the sea was indomitable. But to Jehovah, Behemoth and Leviathan were mere pets on a divine leash. What you have here in the literary progression, what I'm really getting at, is that the monster is vanquished, and the monster is actually a personification of Satan. That's why you have this literary progression in the book of Job. And I cash this out in a great deal of detail in the Creation Answer book. So I don't think that you can make the case that Behemoth and Leviathan are dinosaurs that lived at the same time as human beings. I think that a better rendering of the biblical text is that they are personifications of Satan. and personifications that illustrate this metaphysical reality, that the mythology of the dragon actually is used to underscore the reality of the devil. So again, I don't agree with people who suggest that dinosaurs lived at the same time as human beings, because all of the evidence points in a different direction. And you have to remember that the book of Genesis does not give us a chronology of creation as much as it gives us a hierarchy of creation. In other words, Adam's children, Cain and Abel, they're not the only children Adam and Eve had. Adam and Eve had many more children. Otherwise, where did Cain get his wife? You also have to recognize that sin came into the world, and as a result of sin, there are all kinds of consequences, including creatures that we don't really love.
Are you searching for answers? Look no further. Introducing the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and expanded in 2024 by Hank Hanegraaff, the ultimate equipping resource. With over 210 expertly researched questions and answers, this book provides comprehensive answers to your most challenging questions. Whether you're a seasoned theologian or just beginning your spiritual journey, the Complete Bible Answer Book has something for everyone. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. www.bibleanswerman.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And back to the phone lines, we'll talk next to Jacob listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Jacob.
Hey there. So it's good to talk to you, Mr. Hank. I've never heard your radio show before. I was zipping across the dial and I heard something about Bible, so I stopped in. I thought it would interest me. I just recently graduated as a religion student, and now I'm getting a divinity degree at Vanderbilt Divinity School in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm also a youth minister at a church.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so I had a question about Big Bang Theory, and if you thought that that was, first of all, compatible with the Christian, well, I guess, first of all, if it's true, and then second of all, if it is true, is it compatible with the Christian faith?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's true. It's the best cosmology that we have today. It supposes that the universe began as an infinitely dense singularity and has been expanding ever since for billions of years. And what I would say is the Big Bang is not communicated in the Genesis account of creation, but it does lend scientific credibility to the biblical idea that God created the universe ex nihilo, or out of nothing. To cast that out, let me say this. The Big Bang theory hypothesizes that the universe had a beginning, and that stands in stark opposition to the scientifically silly suggestion that the universe has eternally existed. So the Big Bang presupposes a beginning. The Bible presupposes a beginning. Furthermore, if the universe had a beginning, it had to have a cause. And the cause of all space, time, matter, energy has to be non-spatial, non-temporal, immaterial, and unfathomably powerful and personal. And therefore, the Big Bang flies in the face of the preposterous notion that the universe sprang into existence out of nothing, and then it lends credence to the Genesis contention of a creator who spoke, and the universe leapt into existence. So again, I would say that all of the evidence in cosmology today points towards the Big Bang, and the Big Bang is in harmony with the notion that the universe had a beginning, precisely what the Bible presupposes. If there's a Big Bang, there has to be a Big Banger. So there's nothing whatsoever in Big Bang cosmology that supplants or overturns the biblical notion. The two fit very well hand in hand. Now, again, the reason I make some qualification is that I think you can say that this is current cosmology, and there have been a lot of cosmologies during the years that have been upended, and therefore I wouldn't necessarily hitch my cart too securely to it, but there's certainly nothing wrong with it, and it does comport with what we know at present.
Wonderful. And Hank, if I could take a moment more, could you explain for me and your audience why, even if evolution was true, do you think that it also supports Christianity, or can support Christianity, do you think?
No, it's completely incompatible because, the evolutionary hypothesis is based on the notion that everything is a function of pure, blind, mechanistic processes. In fact, if evolution were true, you wouldn't have free will. You'd be fatalistically determined on the basis of brain chemistry and genetics. So it's an unguided process, and creation is precisely the opposite. It is a guided process. It is God who creates all things. And things reproduce biblically after their own kinds. In the evolutionary hypothesis, one kind evolves into another kind. So cows become whales, and dinosaurs become birds. But when you start thinking about the probabilities, you find out that the evolutionary hypothesis in the age of scientific enlightenment is not only improbable, it's impossible. And that's based on the fossil record. I mean, the fossil record says no, there simply aren't any vertical transitional forms from one kind to another kind. Ape men, fiction, fantasies, and frauds abound. Chance, simply gives evolution no chance. Chance in this sense defined as that which happens without a cause. And the basic empirical or testable laws of science militate against the evolutionary hypothesis.
Okay. Well, I don't necessarily disagree with you, because in school, you know, I went to a Christian undergraduate, and we talked about how Big Bang was compatible with the Christian faith, but my professor seemed to believe that evolution was compatible with creation too, and his line of reasoning went something like that God guided the evolution. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of this before, and I would say, and you're free to disagree with me, and I think you are, but I would say that God filling in the gaps of the evolutionary record is just as probable to me as God guiding the evolutionary process to arise new species. So to me, I could see Christians using either way, but I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, I don't know how you guide an unguidable process. I mean, that is the systemic problem. And not only that, even if you have that hypothesis, you have to ask the question, where's the beef? Where's the evidence for that? And if you look at the Cambrian explosion, for example, it has uprooted Darwin's tree of life. It demonstrates in spades that the evolutionary process simply does not comport with what we find in real life.
And I mean,
we got to follow truth wherever it leads. I think that's... Let's talk about that for just a moment. And I've written about this again in the Creation Answer book. If all of geological history were compressed into a 24-hour clock, most of the distinct animal forms the world has ever known would appear suddenly within a 2-minute time span, all around the 21st hour. And the abrupt, the simultaneous appearance of this wide array of complex body plans signals an infusion of a vast amount of information that can rightly, and I think only, be attributed to an intelligent designer. The second point I'd make in this regard is Darwin theorized that every organism evolved from a common ancestor as a result of natural selection acting on random variations. But the Cambrian explosion points in exactly the opposite direction. And if you look at Darwin, he at least had some candor. He said that the distinctiveness of specific forms and their not being blended together by innumerable transitional links is a very, very obvious difficulty for his theory. And he predicted hundreds of thousands of transitional forms leading to the fossil of the Cambrian, but none have actually appeared. And since Darwin, the problem has only gotten worse. The fossil record has greatly expanded, and yet all known animal body plans appear in the form they possess today. So the problem is that the facts simply don't stack up on the evolutionary side of the equation. So all you can do now is tell stories or obfuscate because the facts aren't on your side. And because evolution is politically correct, it's a dogma that people must embrace in higher education, people are now blaming God for it. And I say, look, if you want to believe in evolution, that's fine, but don't blame God for it. It's cruel, it's inefficient, and it flies in the face of all the evidence we have today.
See, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, Hank. I'm glad that you're actually backing it up with science, because I feel like, and my professor did a good job of stating the difference between Big Bang and evolution, that Big Bang had more evidence to back it up, even scientifically, so that it is compatible with our faith. But evolution just doesn't seem to have the science to back it up as much. So thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you so much for calling. Hope you keep listening.
All right. Thanks, Hank. Bye.
Okay, man. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Bob. He's listening in Boynton Beach, Florida. Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
God bless. I'd like to get some thoughts from you in regards to the following statements that you've heard been made and so on like that. People say live according to the times, and that the Old Testament was written for the Jewish people and the New Testament for the Christians, and whether or not you do or not, that the Jewish people were told to eat only from the cloven hoof and not the pork or the bacon, and Christians are eating a lot of bacon these days, and what your thoughts are.
Yeah, well, first of all, God's not a racist, so all of the Bible's written to all people in every epoch of time. It's certainly true that God called a certain people out to be a light to the nations, and they were people who were gathered around civil and ceremonial laws, including dietary laws that would point ultimately to Jesus Christ. When the substance comes to fulfill the shadow, you don't need the shadow anymore. And so the dietary laws are no longer necessary because the one to whom they pointed has come. And Jesus himself abrogated dietary laws by saying that it's not that which goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It's that which proceeds from the heart. And Mark appends the words, and saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So there's nothing wrong with eating pork from a biblical or spiritual standpoint. Now, you may want to check with your dietitian to see how healthy it is, but that's an entirely different subject. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.